This is VOA News. I'm Alexis Strobe. Israel bombed southern Lebanon on Thursday and said it had thwarted an Iran-backed assassination plot. AP correspondent Karen Shamus has more.
Lebanon has been rocked again by exploding devices as walkie-talkies blew up around the country, killing at least 20 people and wounding more than 450. The attacks, which were widely believed to be carried out by Israel targeting Hezbollah but have also killed civilians, came a day after pagers used by Hezbollah exploded, killing at least a dozen people, including children, and injuring thousands. The second wave also deepens concern about the potentially indiscriminate casualties caused in the attacks, in which hundreds of blasts went off wherever the holder of the pager happened to be, in homes, cars, at grocery stores and in cafes, often with family or bystanders nearby. Experts have said booby traps are banned under international law. I'm Karen Shamas.
In response to U.S. President Joe Biden, Sudan's army and paramilitary rapid support forces have said they are open to peaceful solutions to a conflict that has killed more than 12,000 people and created a devastating humanitarian crisis. Reuters correspondent David Doyle reports.
Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid support forces had shared power after staging a coup. But in April last year, competition between the two erupted into open warfare. On Wednesday, Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan said the Sudanese government remains open to all constructive efforts aimed at ending the war. Early on Thursday, RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo followed suit and said it believes the path to peace is through dialogue. Both men traded blame, however, for failing to end the conflict. They have not outlined specific steps towards peace. A UN fact-finding mission said earlier this month that both sides have committed abuses that may amount to war crimes.
David Doyle from Reuters. This is VOA News. The spreading of the Mpox virus at the epicenter is worrying neighboring countries. AP correspondent Sam Mendick reports.
Kamituga in Congo's South Kivu province is the epicenter of this outbreak, and Kamituga is where this new outbreak began and where a new strain of the virus was found earlier this year. Health officials say that if the situation is not brought under control here, that the situation is going to be extremely hard to control in eastern Congo as well as in neighboring countries. Mpox is a disease that can be transferred through contact, but this new virus, health officials say, is extremely transmissible through sex. The international community is struggling here to stem the flow. They say they do not have enough resources, there's not enough money, and they do not have what they need in order to stop the chain of transmission. What everyone here says they need most are vaccines, which have yet to arrive.
Sam Mednick from the AP. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will travel to Washington next week for talks with President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Thursday's meeting comes as Zelensky continues to press for the U.S. to allow Ukraine to use Western-provided weapons to strike deeper into Russia. The Biden administration still is not convinced that it should give Ukraine the authority to launch long-range missiles deeper into Russia. U.S. officials say they are seeking more detailed information about how Kyiv would use the weapons and how they fit into the broader strategy for the war. Amid economic distress, Sri Lanka seeks change through a coming election. VOA's Anjana Parisha reports.
A significant number of uncommitted voters is making it hard to forecast the outcome of a crucial election, which will shape how Sri Lanka copes with the challenge of ensuring political and economic stability. Sri Lanka will hold elections for a new president Saturday in the first polls since massive popular protests ousted former president Gotabaya Rajapaksa at the height of a crushing economic downturn. The country's 17 million voters will choose between three main contenders, President Ranil Wickremesinghe, who was elected by Parliament. His main challengers are opposition leader Sajith Premadasa and Anura Dissanayake, head of a Marxist-led coalition. Anjana Pasricha, VOA News, New Delhi.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer was elected in July on a promise to restore trust in politics. Now he's trying to shake off criticism over donations from a wealthy businessman and the hefty salary of his most senior aide. The Labour Party leader has denied impropriety over thousands of dollars worth of clothes and eyeglasses paid for by Wahid Ali, a media entrepreneur and longtime Labour donor. Starmer is also facing grumbling among his own employees over the salary of Chief of Staff Sue Gray. The BBC disclosed that she is paid £170,000 a year. That is about £3,000 more than the Prime Minister's salary. Starmer says he has always followed the rules. I'm Alexis Strobe, VOA News.